silence.
Dave and Darren in the morning on Planet 93.9. This is the Quad Cities Real Alternative Radio Thursday mornings. We get caught up on what's going on at the local movie houses with the movie critic and editor at the River Cities Reader. He's Mike Schultz. Welcome back, Mike.
It's good to be here.
Hi, Mike. Guys.
Hello, hello.
When we last left Mike, I like to do this in serial form.
Like, it is kind of like that. Yeah, it's a long-running series by now.
It's a cliffhanger.
Let's do a rehash like Soap.
Is he?
Oh, my favorite show ever made. Really?
Yeah.
Probably my favorite show of all time.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's so good.
Reruns of that are not anywhere, are they?
No.
I don't think so. And they should be.
I bought a couple seasons of it on DVD.
Okay.
I've got the box set.
Do you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's worth it.
But no, as far as reruns,
and you'd think, I mean, it's Billy Crystal.
I remember when it debuted and Jim King came on.
Okay.
And basically kind of gave a warning.
Ooh, like,
it's kind of like.
Well, it was something. Yeah. I mean, it certainly was. Yeah. Even now, I mean, it's. The storylines they do, you'd be hard-pressed to find in a sitcom. Yeah. Gosh, that's a good show.
Well, when we last left you, Mike, you were on your way to the movies to go see the new Pixar.
Yeah.
Lightyear.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was fine. It's unnecessary. They're all unnecessary. You know, when people ask, why are they making that? Because it's going to make money. I mean, that's really it. But like we talked about last week, it's designed to be toy owner Andy's favorite movie when he was 8. And that's why he got a Buzz Lightyear action figure. So it is, as I was hoping last week, kind of designed to look like a mid-90s sci-fi action adventure. So all the computer screens are like iridescent green, you know, it's all that horrible, like, you know, that you have to stare at. The computer system, like the navigation system, is like an 8-track tape. And so when it doesn't work, he has to eject it and blow on it and reinsert it. And I was like, okay, that's pretty clever. It's got a lot of touches like that. The action scenes are relatively decent. It was completely inoffensive, I thought. I had a good time. The 8-year-old I saw it with loved it. She was just over the moon. So I don't know. I get the bad reviews. I just wasn't one of them who gave
it. Did
one.
Not make nearly as much money as they expected it to make.
I guess that makes sense to me. Disney Plus, I mean, well, Pixar, the last three, I think, just went right to streaming,
right?
If that's correct. I still haven't seen Turning Red or Luca because they don't have Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So we'll catch up on those eventually, but and so I think a lot of people just assumed it'll be on Disney Plus next week, which it very well might be, you know,
now,
I don't know.
See, that was my attitude for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and that's on Disney Plus now.
Yeah, right, so that didn't take long.
They must know, I mean, Disney still got my money, even though I didn't
go
to the
theater.
Got
your money all right.
Yeah, they do.
They know what they're doing. It'll be fine.
So yeah, exactly. It didn't. I guess we shouldn't have been surprised by that, but it was a little surprising that Jurassic Park is hanging in there.
And then you also saw a movie about a guy who makes a robot out of a washing machine.
Yeah, boy, that was disappointing. I really wanted to enjoy that. Brian and Charles. It's based on a short film from 2017, like a 15-minute movie. About a lonely Welsh inventor who creates a robot out of a washing machine. And it's
to have a friend.
To have a friend, because he's lonely. But the movie really kind of lays into the sadness and sweetness and adorableness in a way that I wanted to smack it for an hour and a half. You know, it's so wistful
just
and
too
so
precious, huh?
It is precious. It is twee. It is precious as all get out. And after a few laughs with the robot, once you get used to his shtick, it just becomes really repetitive. And then the movie starts making just no sense at all. Like, nobody is amazed by this miraculous creature. He's created life itself.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to notice.
Still just treats it like a washing machine.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, that was clever of you. It was really clever.
You think?
It's something only God has done before. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. But there's a big scene where he gets kidnapped by the town bully. And the bully, like, sets him to work on his farm, like, toting, you know, like hauling, you know, really heavy machinery and stuff. And then the bully just says, we're going to throw him on the fire. We're going to make a big junk pile, and then we're going to burn it. And it's like, you've got this miraculous robot creature. What are you talking about? Let's just get rid of it. It's just, nothing about it makes sense. It was so dumb.
We're going to put two quilts in him.
The takeaway.
Let's put him on the spin cycle.
Yeah.
The takeaway I got, at least from reading your review, is that this might have been, as a short film, just fine.
Yeah.
But this happens a lot with these short films when they expand them into movies. Yeah. It just doesn't work out.
And that's why I'm worried about the Marcel the Shell movie, which I'm super excited about. But those things are perfect at 3 minutes. And so, you know, doing 30 times that, that's questionable.
We got the new Baz Luhrmann in theaters this weekend.
Yeah, you're going to go?
So Elvis finally shows up, huh?
I really do want to see this movie. Elvis. Yeah.
What was the last movie he made or did?
Baz Luhrmann?
Yeah.
I want to. Let me know if I'm
Great
wrong.
Gatsby.
Great
right?
Gatsby.
Okay.
Yeah. So nine years, I think. Okay. Yeah, it's been a long time. I think that's the last one. Yeah. But yeah, like we talked about, I mean, the preview looks pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
And Hanks looks fun. I mean, loaded with prosthetics, I hope.
As Colonel
God,
Tom Parker,
please,
yes.
Please tell me that's makeup, you know? This is the one that gave him COVID, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true.
Yeah, when it first started, that's he was down in Australia.
Yeah. Like way early days.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
And then earlier, Darren and I were talking about this, and we wanted your perspective that, you know, in the 80s,
yeah,
and to a degree in the 90s, there were a lot of coming-of-age movies, right? All Indeed. Summer long, comedies. There would be movies where there'd be comedies like, I remember going to the theater to watch One Crazy Summer.
Sure.
Remember that with Cusack. John Cusack and Curtis Armstrong, I want to say, or maybe he's just...
Oh, no, I think he was in that, actually. Yeah. He was everywhere.
You know, usually it involves...
Those were good days.
There's all the movies, or what was the other Cusack movie where, give me my $5 or $2...
Oh, shoot.
Better Off Dead.
Better Off Dead. There
Better
you go.
Better Off Dead
Thank
with, the,
you.
With
right.
the dancing hamburger and all of that.
Yeah.
And usually it involved a bully who you needed to beat on a big race downhill on skis,
but
right?
But you always had coming-of-age teenagers 10 times smarter than the adults.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, the adults were all stupid. Yeah. John Hughes taught us that.
Yes.
Yes, we learned. But we knew that was true because we were their age. So it's like, yeah, I know better than my mother.
Talk about pandering.
Yeah, right? Perfect.
There just aren't movies like that anymore, are they?
No, I guess, I mean, they probably show up on stuff like Disney Plus. I'm just unaware of it.
But if it's a young person movie, it seems like it's always, we're dying.
Yeah, we had a rush of those for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of terminal
Let's
illness.
Fall in love. Yeah, terminal illness love stories.
There were quite a few of those. And like we talked about off air, I mean, we've got things like Stranger Things, but it's mostly, that's more dramatic than not.
Or
they don't make them anymore.
Or any teenage movie takes place in a dystopian future.
Right.
Or they're vampires, right? Yeah.
But as far as just throwing a party.
Yeah.
Right.
There aren't a lot of thrown-a-party movies anymore.
How many movies were there, too, when we were kids? And by kids, I mean teenagers, where the premise was, there's a guy who's trying to lose his virginity.
Yeah.
That was like...
You remember Losing It?
Tom
Cruise?
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
Like, that was the whole premise. I gotta somehow lose my virginity.
That was a big genre for a while. Porky's, Porky's did that to us. Porky's.
How has there not been a Porky's reboot, for crying out loud?
No kidding.
I think we're too squeamish now. Yeah. I think the last 20 years it's been like, no, we're done with those. That was the gateway drug.
You're right.
Moving on.
After the Me Too movement, you really couldn't get away with looking at a hole in the wall.
I would like to see a version of one, though. Like, how do you do that now?
Girls, there's a hole in your wall. We want you to know about it before anything happens.
Girls, there's clearly a hole in the wall. I mean, can you not see that? I mean, a hole means that there's got to be a hole on both sides.
There is a movie in theaters this week that we're going to send Mike to see called The Black Phone. Let me read the premise here.
Yeah.
It says, after being abducted by a child killer and locked in a soundproof basement, a 13-year-old boy starts receiving calls on a disconnected phone from the killer's previous victims.
Yeah.
Oh,
now, this
boy.
could be a kids are smarter than adults movie, for sure, because we've got the evil clown guy in this, who's the psychopath. But the little kid who's been kidnapped apparently has a sister who has psychic powers that's going to help him get out. And yes, he's getting messages from the dead children. Do you know the background of this, that it's based on a story by Stephen King's son?
I know that from a tweet I saw Stephen King do yesterday.
Check out a picture of that kid. Joe Hill is his name. I can't think of the last time I saw an adult child who looked exactly like his father. It is. It's creepy.
Is it possible that Joe Hill is just another pseudonym
for Stephen King? Quite possible.
Is this another Richard Bachman kind of deal?
Or? It is. Yeah, he works. His name is something King, but he works under Joe Hill. But I landed on his Wikipedia page, and it was like, that is Stephen King circa 1980. It was insane.
Oh,
he's got
wow.
the beard. He's got the bangs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, it's right.
Yeah, that's like Maximum Overdrive Stephen
right?
King right
there.
There
you go. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's dead on.
It's something else.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But the reviews are good. So, yeah, I'm looking for inspired the guy who did the original Doctor Strange, which, as you know, is one of my favorite Marvels. And he did a horror movie called Sinister that was really top-notch. So, yeah, could be kind of fun.
Oh, gosh.
It's set in the 70s, just like...
This looks a little too terrifying for me.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. We'll find out next week. And in the pages of the River Cities Reader and online at rcreader.com, he is Mike Schultz.
Stay nice and cool, Mike.
We'll do my best. Thanks, guys.